G'day everybody. Welcome again to our next live talk. The last live talk I was in Frauke's house in Germany doing a live talk, and back at home now. Been good to be back at home and catch up with the family and the kids, because that last trip I was away for quite longer than normal. But yeah, so just thought we've got some good questions come through that I'll get to, but just to touch base with everybody, the journey that I had through Germany, the three different places that I taught out there, and then I went to Arizona to do some teaching there, and then spend a little bit of time watching Harry Whitney, which I really, really enjoyed. It's been good to sort of spend a little bit of time on myself and my own sort of, you know, observing sort of other trainers that I believe that are well worth looking at. So yeah, so thank you, Karen. It was an interesting, sort of sad but interesting journey through Germany. Like I really enjoyed over there. I love the people I stay with, and also I really enjoy the lessons. I do a heap of individual lessons in Germany and a few demos. I spend most of my days going from sort of stable to stable, helping people at an individual level, which I really enjoy, because I guess, you know, I love teaching, so I love getting in with the horses and the people and doing it like that. The sad thing is that over there are a lot of horses that are kept in boxes for a long time, not let out very often, and I find that there's a lot of people that are kind of wanting help, and there's not a lot of help out there. And there's one stable I stay at, which the horses go out, that I go and work at, that the horses go out in big paddocks, and it's really good. But there were some other horses that I work with that, they're highly strung horses, and they're locked up, and so the positive side is I get to go over and share my knowledge with people and understanding, and I think they come on board and they start to go, maybe we can help our horses a bit more, and maybe instead of just sort of looking at what we want out of the horses, maybe start to look at what they want a little bit, so they can respond better with us. So it's been really good, and I've got Paulina over there who's worked with me a few times in Australia, and she's doing a great job, and in her local area she's got a lot of clients now who've come on board with her, and she can back up also the lessons that I do when I go over. So with the new clients that I've met when I was over there, she's a good backup that they can sort of contact, and she can help them, and she's doing a wonderful job taking some of my ideas on board, but also her own ideas, and becoming a wonderful horsewoman. So yeah, but anyway, I'll get on to the questions. So there's a few. Denise, you're first, or will I just go first on the list? You might have been one of the last questions to come up, but at the moment, no, you are the first question. So I'm going to answer this question anyway, because it looks like you found one of the answers. So how should I respond when I ask for the trot and I get my ears back, which I ignore, then a racing trot? The walk is a lovely responsive pony. So you get a racing, okay. And then the next you've said here, well, I should have taken notice to the flat back ears. He's lame this morning with a hoof abscess, okay. He might be, if that was the hoof abscess making his put his ears back, well, yeah, anyway, he was telling you that he wasn't ready to trot. In response to the first question anyway, there's a lot of horses that do pin their ears hard back when we ask for a little bit more with the legs. And there's, you know, the area, the rib cage area on a lot of horses can cause a lot of irritation and unhappiness. And that's why, you know, you've probably heard me on these live talks talk before about, You know, I don't own a seat for some time because horses never quite like the legs. Well, a lot of horses never quite like the legs enough to actually soften and just travel nicely forward to the legs and have, you know, have a nice amount of energy and desire through the legs. So, so taking away, for instance, the fact that he was lame or had a sore, you know, he was quite sore in the foot. He might still be a horse that still pins his ears at certain times, and you want to really sort of address that. So I kind of bring it back to basics with a lot of horses. You know, horses that you know, from the walk to the trot, they have a kind of an explosive transition because it wasn't just the ears back. It almost, it says here, you ignore the ears and then you get a racing trot. So a racing trot means it's take away the lameness. I have a funny feeling that he's still got a bit of trouble transitioning into that trot. And so going back to sort of understanding legs, so a lot of people say, well, you know, I want my horse to move off my seat. But if the seat's not working, you're going to end up backing it up with your legs, and you're going down to your lower legs and then to your heels if the horse doesn't respond. So what I would tend to do a lot of is I do go back to a stop and I just ask the horse to walk off with heels, calves and heels. Not worry about much, you know, the seat much, until the horse goes, oh, all I have to do is start moving and go forward, and that's the answer. So go back to the stop again and ask for the same thing until your horse goes nice and soft at just traveling off the legs from a standstill. And then what you can do is experiment. So experiment might be when my horse is, I'll just get this question. So experiment with different amounts of pressure. So you might say, I'm gonna, you know, when you feel your horse is responding, you say you might start with, you know, a squeeze or a bump, or some horses respond better to a squeeze, some a little bit of a flap and bump, and that gets them going. And you can experiment with different types of pressure from the standstill and see, you know, so here you might put a little squeeze down and then just give him a little sort of rattly bump, and that'll make him go forward. And after a while he realizes, oh, squeeze means go. And some horses, the rattly bump makes them a bit upset. So you might just hold the squeeze like toothpaste and keep pressing until they go forward, and then just release. And because he doesn't have to trot, he might put his ears back and go, eh, or, you know, they might do that, and then they go, oh, I've just got to move, and I just move, and then you just release. And I would actually, when they walk off, don't do anything with them until you see their ears go forward and they think forward, and actually they start to travel forward themselves. Because the biggest mistake we make is feeling our horses are going too slow, so we keep holding them up all the time with their legs, and we're going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. So instead of doing that, we're going, go, and the horse goes, go, and then we leave them alone, and then we just leave them alone until they go, oh, I'm going on my own, and what's over there, and, you know, so there's a reason to move forward. And then when your horse is moving forward, then stop again and say, go. And as I was saying before, experiment with different amounts of pressure. So first you might experiment with what sort of legs the horse responds to the best for a little bit to help him, you know, get the best response. And then you might start to say, okay, when I squeeze this much, will he go from a standstill to a fast walk very quickly? Or will he go, and when I ask with this much, can I just get a really slow step like this? And he's just going to reach out one foot very softly and take a very soft step. And then you know that you've sort of testing the accelerator to know what you're going to get, and he knows what he's going to give. So that's very important, what you know, you knowing what you're going to get and him knowing what he's going to give, or you knowing what he's going to give and him knowing what he's going to give. So once he's got that working, then with those horses that sort of have an explosive trot transition, most commonly the one thing that I tend to mostly do with everybody, unless I decide to do something different, but in most cases this works quite well, is don't worry about the trot, just worry about the walk. So now you've experimented with walking off from a standstill and experimenting on how he walks off with a bit of intention, then you're just going to go, okay, I'm going to walk faster and get Jewel to walk faster and walk faster. So you squeeze him up and you walk a bit faster, and he's going to go, well, I'm walking as fast as I can. And you're not thinking, I want you to trot. You're just going to say, walk a bit faster, walk a bit faster. And he's going to go, oh, I'm okay, I'm still going faster. And then all of a sudden you'll feel him go, oh, I wouldn't mind trotting right now. Now, you might say, well, what's that feel like? But most people, if I don't tell you, no, I kind of sort of hint to them that relax when your horse thinks trot. And they go, well, how do I know when my horse thinks trot? And I say, well, why don't you go and walk really fast and you tell me when your horse thinks trot? And sure enough, everyone's just about spot on. They've just been so worried about getting the transition from walk to trot, they've been going trot, and they've been kind of doing it for their horse and getting them to trot. But if you go walk fast, walk fast, walk fast, there's a spot where your horse thinks trot and they kind of get a walkie amble up in it, or they get close to that walkie amble where they might just amble off into trot. Now that's the point where they go, I might just trot. And that's the point you go, ah, just relax and just cruise along. And if they trot, that's fine. If they just sort of amble and think trot, then you go, thanks for thinking trot. Now I'm just going to relax and just breathe out and relax your core and just let them relax a little bit. And then you'll bring them back up there again. And when you feel them thinking trot and they feel like they can think and just travel into that trot, then just maybe help them that little bit if they need it. But most cases, you'll know when to take the accelerator off and just go, hey, just find the trot without any pressure on. And it'll get you getting a better feel of your horse, so they don't explode into the trot. So the pinny ears you're going to sort out with just a lot of time on that accelerator, so that it's black and white. From a standstill, the horse goes, and then you release and reward. That's all I want. And then the horse goes, oh, I understand this. And then if the horse has got anticipation in the trot, then you can sort of go, well, now I've worked on the accelerator, I'm going to just accelerate till you think trot in the walk. But I'm not going to I don't want a trotting transition. I'm going to ask for trotting transition. Just when you're ready, you're going to offer me a trot. And I hope that makes sense, but that's the way I tend to get a lot of horses that are a bit racy in the trot, is just get a nice, long, nice, steady accelerator. And when they're ready to trot, they'll trot, but they won't feel like you hunted them into it or said go. But anyway, that'll help. But yeah, also the ears pinned back. With some horses that are gone, become very repetitive ear pinners, really sort of hard, and older hard horses that just really kind of just suck back on the legs, and then with those horses you might want to throw in something like, okay, when I ask for go, from a standstill, the horse just sucks back and goes, then I might just take a rein and go, curve that thought, step around over here, do a U-turn, something like that, and then squeeze again on a loose rein, squeeze again, and the horse sucks back, and you just turn, reset the thoughts, try again, and you can go about it, doing that with those sort of horses that, pin their ears and get really sticky. When the abscess clears up, have a practice on a few of those, and I hope, you might get some. Yeah. So, all right, Heather. Now, digging a bit deeper into Skip's psyche. Have been doing a bit of painting behind the ute. Started slow. Took a while to get him calm. Now he's cool at all paces in all terrains. Added another horse and he got pretty round up, so he just walked. He got aggressive and angry, lots of kicking out, pig rooting, rearing, striking, snaky head, real frustrated, coldy stuff. He lives like and his boss of the other horse. So the horse that you had him poning with on the ute, he's the boss of. And then things calmed down. You thought it was a bit of a power play, and Should I just continue to not react? Is this the correct path? Your Holiness. Wow. Well, Heather, things you call me Your Holiness, you just, the answer will come from within and you will find it. Now we'll go to the next question. No, sorry, Heather. So with him, I'll give you an example. I've got a few quite strong mares here, and I put them, one particular one, I had the horses close together in round yard, and it's a sort of an 8 meter diameter, small round yard. And because there wasn't enough room, one horse started to go, you know, chasing the horses around, almost like they was going to chase them over the fence sort of thing, crazy stuff. And in some cases, horses, when they interact with each other, they don't sort of think about walls and fences and boundaries of lead ropes and things like that. They just think about spatial awareness. So, for instance, if you put a mare, if you put a stallion like we did it once, made a mistake once where we had to quickly sort out a foal because a stronger mare had stolen the foal of another mare who was a maiden mare. And in the sort of sorting out, we quickly said, okay, the only horse this horse gets on with is the stallion. So we just quickly put them over there. But because the stallion saw the other mares over there, he said, I want to put you with the other mares, regardless of fences and things like that. So we had to quickly sort that out. But so then when I see, you know, it got me to think in those, you know, that, well, okay, when I put horses that look like they get on really well in a big open space in a smaller environment, they start to sort of get stressed and fight each other and things like that. And it's only because in a bigger environment, they'd probably go, not real fussed about you standing there, and they'd give them a little, you know, bit of their body language, and that horse would sort of go, yeah, I understand, I'm just going to move off over there. But the horse can't move off over there because there's a fence to stop it. But the horse that said, move away over there, said, you're not moving. Are you not listening to me? I told you to move. But the horse in the corner goes, no, I can't move because there's a corner here. But so the horse in the corner knows about the fence. It knows about the boundaries. But the horse that's saying, move away, goes, I don't care about those, or I don't really recognise that you're worried about those things. I just know that you're not getting out of my area. So think of it like that. When they're leading together off the back of the ute, the little horse is sort of getting, you know, he's saying, yeah, I'm a bit stressed here because, you know, this is a new thing to me and I'm a bit anxious. You're in my space, and he's going to get more big about it, and he's going to get, and because he's close, and that other little horse is going, well, I can't get away, I'm on the lead rope. He's going, well, I don't care about the lead rope. That's your problem, not mine. So think of it like that, and that's why, yes, they'll have to settle in, and they will. They will settle in and start to understand, and there's a lot of cases, you know, when you're ponying young horses. What you might want to do, you know, if you thought it was a problem is I don't know, if you had, you know, driving, you had someone driving the ute, and you had a bit more rope so they can, you know, the little one getting picked on could move off a little bit. And then you can sort of just say, draw back in and move off and draw back in and just do that. Just almost like you were sort of riding a horse with a pony horse and just going in and out and things like that to break the bubble down. I mean, so there's like it's like catching a horse or anything. There's a bubble, and that when those two bubbles hit, there's friction, and then you take them off, and then all of a sudden they relax, and then they come in and friction, and they relax, and all of a sudden, oh, well, we'll just go together like that. So, you know, just so in case you thought one of them was going to get hurt or something like that. So, so I think that's pretty well it. It's just our boundaries sometimes are in the way for horses. So we're on to Rhonda. Okay, how do I keep the horse out on the circle when long reining, very confident going around close, but hard to keep her out. And then Rhonda, you go to another one. Okay, first one, I'll answer that one, Rhonda, because I think you came back with another one here. Okay, I think that I need to make sure that I am not trying to hold her out with the outside line and not worry, not and to not worry about her being close. I'm still interested in what you have to say. So, if your horse is at a stage that, you know, you're long reining, you can take it out with the outside reins, don't hold your horse out. So on the videos, there's my long reining, and I teach a horse to go out and seek. And in the early days of training horses, instead of teaching them to circle, I don't teach them to circle. I just teach them to sort of just walk a line, and just look to the outside. I actually encourage my horses to think away a little, if they want to, and go with that thought. Now, horses that have done a lot of lunging and started to get really hooked on to people so much so that the inside rein has no value, then they're the ones that kind of are hard to get to go out. And those ones, you know, there's something you can do if you're one reining them, is if you didn't want to use an outside rein for a little bit, is when they're not going out, you just slide up the rope and you just give them a push under the chin from the feel, and you just cast them out and let them go again. When they start to draw back in, you just slide up the rope, you kind of step into them a little, and you just push and send them in a straight line out until they start to realize, oh, every time I kind of start to push in here, you know, they slide up the rope a little, they block that door, and then they just send me through a little. And then sometimes you'll see them just go out a little bit further, but the idea is you can offer a little bit of inside rein and they take it. And by the sounds of it, your horse has not got any value on, and long reining is a hard one in some respects, because if you've got the reins going through rings or through stirrups or anything like that, it's hard to put a value on the inside rein like you can when you just kind of got a horse on a lunge line or something like that. So there is no problem in asking the horse to go out with an outside rein. You're not holding them out. So don't think for your horse, maybe don't think circles, think just a straight line and then a turn, and then a straight line and then a turn. Get the whole notion of circles out of your mind for a little bit and just say, well, okay, and instead of, you know, I'm just going to ask my horse. So even if you're on the inside long reining, how people do, you know, how you can stand on the inside. So if you want to trot your horse or something like that, you don't have to run behind it and die of exhaustion. You can let your horse just trot around you. So if you're in that sort of scenario where you're on the inside and your horse is kind of like long reining around you, just ask them out and then lighten that rein, let them find a straight line out a little, and then just turn them back in. So instead of going, holding them out all the way around the circle, you just say go out, and the horse will go out, and then you say back in, and you go out, in, and you kind of get a cog sort of shape, out, in. And then when the horse is kind of getting a bit soft with that out and in, you just say, now just travel around a little, and you'll find that that'll help. So yeah, if you're thinking holding the horse out, it's like holding the horse up with the inside leg. Don't hold our horses up. Teach them to do something. So nothing wrong with teaching them to go out and come back in. And that's going to be more important, because using an outside rein to hold a horse up is going to dull your horse, the outside rein, same as using an inside leg. But yeah, that's why I like, you know, doing one reining, because it really gets you to think about the inside rein and how you can encourage a horse to just, you know, follow it in and follow also the way they feel out. It's good for the horse and also good for the people to sort of learn. Okay, Rhonda, you got another question here. How to build a composite walk on a very green horse. He was sent to be started. And when he went there, he was ridden, but kicked a lot to get moving. He was sent home and had a few rides, but ended up bucking his new owner off. Okay, very common. Yeah, you've been watching the firm ones, which is good, which is only ask for energy, and then when your horse stops, ask again. Now, I'm going to talk a little story quickly about a horse that I had, which was a tough, well, one of my last sort of tough little Brumbies, very nervous, very not tough, he was a very nice horse, but very nervous and lacked a lot of confidence. And also just a little story of a girl that I helped just recently in Germany who ended up in hospital when she got bucked into a fence. And I think she might have actually busted one of her lungs and broke some ribs and did some bad damage anyway. She was hospitalized because she kind of got on a steel horse and she was getting a little bit of help at the time. And unfortunately, the horse was still a bit frozen and lacked a lot of confidence. So she was kind of asking the horse to walk, and then, righto, we've done our walking now, and the next lesson we're going to start trotting. And that kind of didn't go so well because the horse took off and bucked and, you know, ran her into the fence. And sorry, it's not all about doom and gloom, but I'm saying that confidence is one of the biggest things in horses. And I get a lot of horses that come to clinics and that have been asked to go and been deemed as kind of lazy when they just didn't have a lot of confidence. So and going back to the little Brumby horse that I worked, I sort of had to ring the owner and say, well, I'm going to take a little bit longer on this horse because if I go any faster, it's going to crash into a fence. And I go, so how do I know without crashing it into a fence? Because I've ridden enough of those little type of horses to know that it's going to crawl. But if I hunt it and get a coil of a rope and start to, you know, say, get going, move a bit faster, then they pop and panic and they just don't know how to deal with it. So a lot of horses, you just say go and you leave them alone. Once they get moving, like the question I just answered before about the pinning in his back, it's kind of the same principle. You just ask for energy. When your horse starts moving, just sit on it and just let it do its job. When it stops, go again. And you might not like that walk. You might say, this is the slowest walk in Australia and I may as well get off and walk because I'm going to get there quicker. And it might sort of make you feel like, you know, I don't, it might be what you want, but it's what the horse is giving. And maybe sometimes you just got to be grateful for what they're giving for a little bit. And then a lot of times, I'm not saying all the time, but a lot of times, and if you sort of, you know, so a lot of times just stick to it for a little while. Go, thank you. Go, thank you. And after a while, the horse will go, well, it's my responsibility to go. You're not hunting me all the time. Oh, I can relax. I can think a little bit. What's over there? Oh, I saw something over there. And it starts to become a horse and it starts to think ahead and starts to search. And then it starts to think back to you and think ahead and starts to go, I can do this. And because you're not up there going, keep going, you're not walking fast as I like. My last horse walked faster than this. Then the horse can actually have thinking room and time to get its confidence and get its bearings, and a lot of horses actually suddenly go, they'll speed up, and when it becomes their responsibility and they know that they're not going to stop, once they get that stop thought out of their mind, because the first thing they're going to want to do when they lack confidence is stop. And once they realize that, okay, well, I can go as slow as I like, I just can't stop, then they go, well, I've taken the stop idea and I'm going to go as slow as I like. Well, this is not how normally I walk. I usually walk faster when I go places. But now I'm a bit confident I'm going to start walking at my speed, which is a bit faster. And they'll speed up and then you can slow them down and speed them up to their speed and then slow them down. And get them working off the legs in a sense that you're only asking them to go as fast as their confidence allows them to go. So you can still work on acceleration on your young horses and your nervous horses, not by over accelerating them past what they're confident. You're only bringing them back slower than their confident speed and saying, speed up to your confident speed. And then you take them back down the bottom of the mountain again and go again. And that's most commonly, you know, how you get a young horse to learn, one, how to accelerate. But for a while there, you just say, go. But when you feel your horse sucking back and wanting to stop, don't kick it before it stops. Allow it to stop and then say, go again. Allow it to stop and then say, go again. Because then the legs will still mean speed up, which is very important. Because if you just use them to say, keep going, then you're just using those to get the horse to keep going. And they'll lose the effect of speed up because they're only keeping them going. So I hope that's not getting you too muddled. But yeah, so allow them to make the mistake of slowing down and then say, okay, now back to walk again. And stick to it for a while. You know, might be a week, might be five rides or six rides, but you might find a change happening and then the horse will start to carry you along on a real nice, you know, fast walk. And a lot of horses, they do find it. So Karen, working with a 9-month-old mini colt, he had been handled, but in the traditional old, keep him, hold him close and tight. As soon as you give him any freedom on the lead, it's like a shark on a line, running circles, bucking, kicking, hold him tight and close, and he's okay. I suspect that he has been muscled into behaving. I'd like him to be comfortable around people, not feel like he's going to be held in place. Okay, so if I was sort of working a horse like that, I think what I would tend to do is just say, ask him out, like just ask him to go past you and then just let the rope out nice and softly, just like some of the, you know, the one reining sort of things that I do with horses, where I let him just go in a straight line. And then what'll happen is he'll either go, last time I was out here, I got chased around in circles and I'm lost and I don't know what to do. Just let him go out to the end of the rope and then just let him find the end of the rope and just take the rope, set on it a bit so he kind of turns and faces you, even walk backwards and draw him up to you and let him walk up to you. And just when he walks up, let him have a connection and just let him breathe on you, let him stand with you. You know, if he likes a little rub, give him a rub. Well, you know, don't rub him if he doesn't like it, but just make him sort of feel like he can just relax there. And then do the same thing again. Just ask him out, let him go to the end of the rope, and then just let him find the end of the rope and realize that, okay, it's not an endless rope. I know that there's boundaries. And then just say, now come back, and just draw him back up that rein and just let him come back and just stand and settle him. And you just let him go out on a little trip, just a little journey, and let him come back and settle, and then go out again. And like the thing I say to people, and it was interesting actually when I was at the Harry Whitney Clinic, because he kind of talks about the same thing. Just let him go on a little, the horses are kind of disconnected and got anxious when they got out on a circle, whether it was working at Liberty or on the lead. Just let them do a little trip and come back. And it's the same thing, and something like that I've been, you know, talking about at clinics is an explanation I've tried to get a picture in people's mind of what I'm thinking about is, like you say, is on a shark on a lead. Well, imagine it like this. You're on a little island, and you're chucking him out, and he's a little fish in a bunch of sharks. That's what he might feel like. He might think there's sharks. So I go for a swim in the ocean, and I think there's thousands of sharks, so I get back to the shore pretty quick. So I'm a bit like a horse out on a lead. Just get me somewhere safe pretty quick. But once I got confident of swimming out there and realised that I'm not going to get eaten by a shark, I'd probably swim a bit longer. So, okay. So that's what he might feel like. And then, okay, bring it back to, okay, when you put a kid in the pool, if it was teaching them how to swim, you're going to put them near the edge, you're going to put them there and they swim to the edge, and the edge is not very far away. So think of it like that. You just send him on a little trip out And when he gets lost and thinks he's getting eaten by sharks or a kid that's drowning and he can't find the shore, draw him back, say, here's the island. Come back, reset, relax, recenter, and go again. Go out for your little swim, come back to the shore, reset, relax, take a breath, and just think of it like that. And then soon he'll go, I'll go half a circle around you and a bit further, and I don't mind, okay? But get good at just getting him to cast past you, you know, or little mini horse, bend down and ask him past you, however you got to do it. Just do it like that. And he'll have a few sort of moments where he gets a bit lost out there, but don't be afraid to sort of, you know, draw his focus back. And you might have to firm up on the rope when he gets out there to say reset, so he gets a sooner reset and he's not out there too lost for too long. Bring him back and give him another go, and he'll have a few little journeys out there where he gets better and better and better, and then he'll go further and further and not panic. So the sweet spot, he's got to come back to the sweet spot, come back into the green zone, the comfortable zone where he's comfortable, and then you send him out. If he goes in the red, you bring him back into the green until he doesn't go red. Okay, Viv, you look like the last question. Also, we're getting out of time too. So, how do I work out which is my indirect rein? You mentioned it in getting the back up straight. Okay. Yes. So, Viv, there's going to be confusing now. There's more than one indirect rein. But the one that I would be suggesting to get your back up straight, okay? So when you're riding horses in the back up, you know, some horses that aren't thinking back very well or they're not committing to the back up, they can, you know, bow and bend and put their hind legs out funny and do all sorts of funny things and because they're not soft or, you know, all sorts of things. Now, there's different ways to correct them in the back up. But mostly with horses, I'll correct them by opening a rein or taking an indirect rein. So if I find that the hips are really pushing out over here like that, or pushing out over here, and there's a video, I don't know if I've put it on. I have to look, actually. I have to go. I've been getting some videos for the next month. I might have to see if that one's on. I say it because I remember doing it, but I don't know if I've put it on yet, but it's just a few hints on correcting Banjo's back up. And you take the indirect rein up to your belly button, and that's going to encourage the hind quarter to move across, okay? So say, for instance, if you're riding along, you pick up a right indirect rein. The right indirect rein will sort of be encouraging that right foot to step over underneath because the horse will bend a little bit to their right and move their hind quarter out to their left, which means the right foot will move up underneath them a little bit. The indirect rein that you want to use the hind, that you want to engage the hind quarter and start to, you know, contact the hind feet is going to come towards your belly button. You can take it up a little bit higher if you like, but don't take it across the whole horse because that'll just end up making the rein go in front of the shoulders. So you really want them behind the wither. And that'll encourage them to step over in their hips in the back up. Now, if your horses, some horses that are really stuck and they're really blocking on that indirect rein and they need a little bit of work, say maybe moving forward to an indirect rein and stepping across, then you can also correct them with their shoulders. So if you're backing, you're sort of taking the reins, you just might open a rein up, and that'll make their shoulders step across. The other indirect rein to take the shoulders out would come up further up the wither and come sort of to center or just a little cross center. It's going to come in front of the wither, take their shoulders out like that, and out like that. Now, for anyone else, I think the correct terminology for indirect rein is it's called indirect because you're picking up a rein on this side, okay, but it's causing something on this side to move this way, for instance. So if I pull it, if I take a direct rein, the horse is going to think and steer directly towards the feel of that rein. So that rein is going to directly influence that direction. Whereas when you take an indirect rein, it's indirect because you're taking a rein on this side and the direction is going back on the other way. I think that's why they call it like that. Hope that helps you, Viv. But thanks everyone for coming on board. And yeah, there's a few familiar faces up there. Thanks for coming on. And yeah, I'll be talking to you in another 2 weeks. Okay, so we'll put another post up for more questions for the next talk. And yeah, thanks everybody. And I'll see you in a couple of weeks.